What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. A little later on in the show, Nadim and Jan will be here to reflect on Manchester City's 2-1 victory over Borussia Dortmund. But we kick things off by welcoming Craig Burley and Ali Moreno to discuss the game in Spain. Real Madrid 3, Liverpool 1 is how it finished at Valdebebas. Vinicius Jr. with a brace. Asensio getting a goal as well. Real Madrid then very much a favourite going into the second leg at Anfield next week. Craig, good game this. Real Madrid deserve the win.
Yeah, and I always thought they were favourites coming into the game, but I was surprised the way that Liverpool allowed them to dominate in the middle of the park, particularly in that first half. And so Toni Kroos, for those that watched it, was able to pick passes at will. They looked for the early ball in behind quite a lot, particularly over the top of Alexander-Arnold. And that's where they got some joy down that left-hand side. So I think he put Keita in there to get some extra energy to try and press a little bit because of the legs or the lack of legs and Toni Kroos and Luka Modric, who are the wrong side of 30. But that wasn't the case. And so, it got better for Liverpool. It's not a disaster, but for long periods it was not a good performance.
Ali, Vinicius Jr., much maligned by Real Madrid fans, the media, and indeed his players, his teammates at times. What a show he put in today.
Yes, he did. And I think those of us that have been critical of Vinicius Jr. have always pointed out the fact that he's not always effective or efficient with his final decision or his final execution. But the one thing that you can always count on with Vinicius Jr. is that he's always a threat. He's always going to look to push that boundary. He's always going to look to get in behind. And what we saw from Real Madrid that was very surprising was the fact that coming into the match, if you had said, if the game is stretched and it's a back and forth and it's about a change of pace and a change of speed and athleticism, that's going to be provided by Liverpool. Instead, this was provided by Vinicius Jr. and Real Madrid. And the time that Toni Kroos was allowed to just have and pick out whatever pass he wanted and however he wanted to pick that pass, and Vinicius Jr.'s time in his run well, it's amazing to me how the Liverpool center backs do not see this happening, that Toni Kroos has all this time and space to play this ball over the top and that you don't take a step back, that you try to maintain some sort of high line when Vinicius Jr. times his run, takes a beautiful touch forward, and then I think what's most important, he finishes the play. That in itself is the biggest issue with Vinicius Jr., is that he doesn't always finish the play. He doesn't always find the right pass. In this case, he had a couple of opportunities on goal, and he finished them very well. And Real Madrid needed that because they were not getting much from Karim Benzema. A lot of movement of the ball, but nothing really in terms of creating inside the 18-yard box. So it had to come from somebody else, and it did come from Vinicius.
Craig, what is it about that Real Madrid midfield? Obviously, Casemiro, Kroos, and Modric that just have this ability, it seems, in big games to control things.
Well, if you sit off them like that, they've got the ability. And I think that was something that Liverpool will take note ahead of the second leg. Depending on team selection, Real Madrid have some players to come back. We know that, particularly in the defensive aspect of the team. But yeah. Look, if you allow... Luka Modric is the only guy that's won the Ballon d'Or outside of Messi and Ronaldo. The guy's a fantastic player. Toni Kroos has been one of the best passers of the ball in European football all his career. If you set off these guys and allow them that type of space, they're going to kill you. They'll hurt you. And so that was the disappointing thing for Liverpool, because you set off quality and they'll pick balls out and they'll pick little spaces. And on the other side of the coin as well, we had Trent Alexander-Arnold, who has had an autopsy in his game recently from everybody in England, it seems, is lacking confidence. I mean, he's not going unnoticed from him that he's seen all these headlines. He's listening and hearing about people talking about him. Now, he did have a fine game against Arsenal at the weekend, but I should remind everybody, Arsenal have been hapless, absolutely hapless. This is Real Madrid. They've got quality. And so it was a little bit of Liverpool's own downfall as well. But as I say, If you set off Real Madrid at Anfield, they'll do the same to you. The problem is, I mentioned Alexander-Arnold, you've got Kabak and you've got Phillips. They've done a decent job in there. But how do you stop this Real Madrid team scoring at Anfield? I just don't see it happening.
There's a lot of buzz going into the start of this game, Stevie. No Ramos. And then, of course, the Varane out as well because of COVID. So excitement around the Liverpool fans thinking, right, this is a great chance to get at them. They never did.
Well, to take advantage of that, then you have to keep the ball and you have to get through the middle of the park and supply your forward line with balls. That didn't happen. You know, the boys are talking there about at times where they were lying off. I think it was more to do with Liverpool, whether it was the three in the middle or the three up front, couldn't get a hold of the ball. And so when it kept breaking down, then that's when they were getting all the space. Now, if you can't take of the fact that they've lost Varane and Ramos, then at the very least, what you have to do is defend properly. And that's not just from the back. Right. The middle. The middle three have to stop the opposition getting at the back four. As Craig said, Alexander-Arnold's having a tough one. You've got Phillips, who today showed his complete and utter lack of experience. The two goals he was involved in are starting positions. And that comes down to experience. And you can't afford to have a player in such an important position who can't get the first basic principle of defending, and that's your starting position right. So no surprise you lose goals. But listen, if you're looking for any sort of positive, it can only be the goal. And by the way, the goal was a complete and utter fluke. Diego Jota kicked it into the ground with his big toe. It came off Modric. It hit Salah in the back of the leg, it ricocheted off his other leg, it fell to him, and somehow he poked it home. That's the positive for Liverpool today. It can only get better. They're not out the tie, but I'll tell you what, they're not far. They're not far from done.
Go on, Ali.
To the point that Stevie was making in terms of Liverpool and their defending from the front and from the midfield, what I found very interesting is that as Liverpool tried to press early on a couple of times, Real Madrid was able to play through that pressure and play through Liverpool. And it felt like almost Liverpool said, well, hold on a second. If we can't really use our high press, if we can't really unsettle Real Madrid, then we're sort of cut in between. And in that in-between state is where you found all this space for Cruz, all this space for Luka Modric, Casemiro, who I thought actually had a very good game and a very solid game in terms of breaking things up, always getting on the way of passing lanes. And that's how they control it, is that initially they were able to play through the early pressure. And after that, Liverpool didn't know what to do up until the first 10 minutes of the second half, where they decided, okay, you know what? Nothing to lose here. Let's go on press. And that's when Real Madrid got a little wobbly in the back, a little wobbly through the midfield, but they couldn't withstand that pressure. And then the third goal came from Vinicius and it was game over.
Craig, there was no one, was there, from Liverpool today who played well?
No, even Mane, the ball was bouncing off him. He's normally so relaxed. We expect it from Salah, and then he pops up, and not today. Stevie said it was a lot of luck in that goal, but normally Salah pops up with something brilliant after having a 89 minutes of the ball bobbling off him. Mane was that sort of guy today as well. Even Fabinho, who's been so reliable in there, his ball retention. As Stevie was talking about in the middle of the park, the ball retention was poor. So, not really. I thought Kabak did okay early on in terms of how he defended with a couple of balls over the top where he could have dived in. He didn't. He stayed on his feet. That wasn't too... Even Alisson for the goal. I mean, it's not the easiest save. I'll grant it, but it's not right in the corner. I think it was the third goal, which came about way too easy. And it came about just after Real Madrid should have scored from the corner. You know, they actually should have taken the lead from the corner. Thiago got left back sort of one-on-one. He's got no pace, and they just slipped the ball down the inside of him. So it was ragged as hell from Liverpool at times. But look, at 3-1, you're still in it. But it's not the Liverpool playing Barcelona, Anfield, when they did a year or two ago, with a rampant side, with a full house, with expectations. Even with players out of the team that they had that time, they were missing some key players. It was just a fervent night at Anfield. There's no crowd there, and there's really no energy and consistency about this Liverpool team this season. This is a Liverpool side that just completely says to you, Dan, please get to the end of the season, brush yourself down, get the players fit, and let's try and go again.
Can I just say also, Dan, that in that third goal, Dan, and this is a shout out to Stevie and his favorite coach, the Liverpool throw-in coach. It comes from a throw-in for Real Madrid, a throw-in that goes to the end line and where there is two defenders around Karim Benzema, and somehow he gets out of that pressure and finds Luka Modric. This isn't the moment in which Liverpool was slightly better than Real Madrid. And you would have thought, you know, maybe this is when they smell it, when they think they can press Real Madrid, when they can force some turnovers. And from a throw-in in a corner, Real Madrid gets out, and then Vinicius has scored that third goal. That, to me, is unacceptable.
You know, and that goal, that goal I'm talking about, Phillips being 2 yards.
Yep. It was, you said he was standing 2 yards, in front of Alisson.
He's 2 yards too deep. And Liverpool's best player, probably for most of the season, Fabinho, Modric walks past him.
Yeah.
And so I think for Klopp and all Liverpool fans, the worrying thing is, what can he do to change this? I don't think he can do anything. He can't do anything. Fabinho looks heavy-legged. I've never seen Wijnaldum looking so tired from the get-go. You're bringing on Thiago, who's not going to be able to go and close the ball the way that the best Liverpool sides under Klopp have done. So you can't change that. So then Real Madrid are going to still get ball at Anfield. Now you add the problems they got at the back. What are they going to do to change the back line? They can't change the back line. So how does Klopp change this? There's no crowd behind them.
Hmm.
There's a lot of questions, and there's certainly not a lot of answers.
No, well, let's ask this question. Go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I know we're being, I suppose we're being critical of Liverpool in a sense, the way they played, but I really don't think it's a big surprise, Dan. I mean, I'm not horrified by it because that's what they've been all year, particularly since they've had this horrendous injury list. And so you just, I have no expectations of Liverpool putting in a sterling performance. I didn't have it tonight. I just thought they might get a bit more pressure on Real Madrid, particularly in the middle of the park. But I don't really have any expectations for this football team at the moment because they have got so many key personnel out, and if they were to put Real Madrid out, I actually think it would be a shock at the moment because they haven't. I mean, they've been beaten by some of the poorest teams in the Premier League this season. So, yeah, disappointing performance in a sense that they didn't really lay a boot for a long period on some of these players, but not really in the circumstances. Very surprising.
Percentage chance to get through, Stevie, for Liverpool?
20%, 15%.
It's gone down in a matter of seconds.
Oh, yeah, the more I think of it. Ask me again, it'll be 10.
Thank you very much, guys. Of course, the second leg next week at Anfield. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest news. You can go over to our YouTube channel, catch up with the latest videos. Be sure to subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In the other Champions League tie, Manchester City beating Borussia Dortmund by 2-1. City would open the scoring in the 17th minute thanks to Kevin De Bruyne. Royce equalising for the visitors in the second half. Phil Foden with a late winner for City to give them the advantage going into that second leg as we welcome in Nader Manua and Jana Agafjortov. Nader, I want to start with you. Manchester City favourites to win the Champions League. Didn't particularly play like favourites today.
Do you know, you say that, but the performance wasn't that bad. I think Dortmund today probably played better than a lot of teams anticipated. And for City, you know, they went about their business, they moved the ball well, they created a few chances. But this is ultimately what you expect in the late rounds of a Champions League game. I think Dortmund, made a good count for themselves, and so did City. And, you know, I think a 2-1 result, in my opinion, was a fair result. But the way City definitely had to earn it was something which wasn't expected by many. But credit to Dortmund, they played well. They played without fear. And, you know, with someone like Haaland up top there, you can create chances, you can take chances, and he's always going to be a threat.
I get the spin, Jan, and I get the fact that Borussia Dortmund play better than they have. This is a team that are fifth in the Bundesliga. We've talked extensively about them struggling domestically. They should have been there for the taking. Once Kevin De Bruyne scores that goal in the 17th minute, everybody thought, well, that's it. It's going to be 3 or 4-0. City should have put this tie to bed, shouldn't they?
Well, they should, but I agree that they started quite well, Dortmund. I think they played with that attitude, we've got nothing to lose. We watched them on Saturday against Eintracht Frankfurt, and you felt that it could happen the same to them as Schalke when they came to City. They were hammered by Manchester City, but there was no chance of that happening today. There were some great players in that Dortmund side today. I think they would be very happy with it, that game, taking a goal with them back to Dortmund. Will Manchester City be disappointed? No, they're not used to going so far, so they would be just happy. They do what they had to do to win the game. Coming back at 1-1, that was sealed and delivered from Dortmund, and then De Bruyne again to Gundogan to Foden. They made it look so easy, to so efficient. And again, Dan, I'm so irritated of Meunier. Every time that he plays for Dortmund, he makes a mistake, and he did it again today.
What am I missing here? Manchester City should have put this tie to bed. We shouldn't even be looking ahead to the second leg. Manchester City are a superior side to Borussia Dortmund. But yet again, as we've seen over the years with Pep Guardiola in the Champions League, they keep leaving the door open for these inferior sides in the second leg.
That is a fair point, that Manchester City maybe should be more sovereign, if that's the English word for it. They should have scored more goals. But I think that you should also respect the opposition. Dortmund, yes, they are fifth in the league. They had a terrible game on Saturday. But as has been said, there are potential good players in that side as well. And today, Manchester City did what they had to do. I still think they will knock out Borussia Dortmund. I still think they are, alongside Bayern, the favourite to win the Champions League. But those kind of games like today, those will happen.
I understand that, Nathan, but they seem to happen too much in the Champions League at these stages.
Dan, honestly, you're such a wind-up. You bring me on the show just to wind me up, honestly. It's crazy. But for City today, they beat Dortmund, and this is the first time they've won it. They've won a game in the first leg at this stage of the Champions League. Yet still, we're asking questions. I think.
Of course we're asking questions. It's Manchester City who are favourites, who have got a superior side to Dortmund, as they were superior to Lyon and Spurs and those other sides that they got knocked out in the past. Yet they just can't seem to get over the line when they need to.
Which is fair, but in this instance, you're trying to ask questions about a team that just won a game. They didn't draw the game or lose the game, but you're asking questions as if they did. I think when they look at it, all things said and done, they'll be happy to take a lead to Dortmund. And as far as City go, they are a front foot side. They're not going to just sit back for 90 minutes and try and hold on to that lead. And I expect more goals in the second leg. So overall, you can look at it and say, well, for this leg now, obviously they're disappointed with conceding, but they won the game. They have something, they have an advantage going into the next stage. And for as much as people like you will ask those questions over and over and over, if they keep winning games like this, they could end up with 4 trophies. So credit to them and credit to Dortmund for making it a good game.
But it will annoy, Dan, it will annoy, of course, Manchester City that these questions are put out there, because they wanted that 3 or 4-0 to show everybody that they're there. They'd be dominant in the Premiership, and they wanted today to have a great performance, and they didn't do that. And I think this is a chance for Dortmund, because now coming up to the game in Dortmund, people will ask them, do they still have the... Can they win it? Can Pep Guardiola win without Messi? He hates that. I've been so many games when he's playing Liverpool, for example, in the last rounds, and he has lost it. And I hopefully, for Dortmund, that he will lose it again by people like you, Dan, making those questions.
So the real thing we need to find out or figure out, all the things that Nathan was saying, from a very sensible point of view and a rational point of view, is correct. The problem is, inside Manchester City's dressing room, inside the coaching room, is there a little thing in the back of their head saying, well, you know, we wanted a bigger victory. Mm. We didn't want them to get an away goal, and we've messed this up before. Listen, if they're all thinking the way Nedum is, then they're in good shape.
Right.
But if they're thinking the way we are, and, well, you know what, this has happened before, then that could change the whole thing.
Go on, Nedum.
I think you've made some good points there, Steve. But to look at it, they have won the game, but they won a tough game. And I think for them, the way that City are, the way that Pep is, especially this season, they will learn. Like, there was a point in the game where Haaland pushed over Diaz, and then you're thinking, well, Diaz is now going to change the way he approaches Haaland. You know, they're a team who can adapt on the fly. And I think if they would have won 3-0, 4-0, then maybe they might have been overconfident going forward. But the fact that they had to earn this victory, and this is the first time they've won in the first leg in a quarterfinal in the Champions League, I think that means something. So even though there could be doubts or whatever, the fact of the matter is they were in a tough game today and they came out on top. So surely that should provide confidence going forward.
Jan, you asked very politely. Look, you'd like to speak next?
yes, please. On the other side, you have Manchester City, who don't have that culture in the Champions League approach. On the other side, tonight, we watched two games. We saw Real Madrid. They won it 13 times. When coming to April and May, they are at their best. It's like the former coach of Bayern Munich always said, Jupp Heynckes, April and May are the two best months and the most important months for Bayern Munich. Manchester City is not there yet. So they need to know that now is the time that they have to play well. And that is a point for you, Dan, that they went out fantastic today. Still, they won the game. But question mark, we have to put it to them till they do something in April and May. That is Guardiola. And Guardiola doesn't have money to buy Haaland. And he has more or less used all the oil and gas money that is to spend. So now is the pressure on him too.
Just one last point on this game, Nedum. The disallowed goal for Borussia Dortmund, a complete joke, nothing to do with VAR, just a terrible refereeing decision.
I think as we can all say, everyone will agree that he blew the whistle too soon, because I think if he allows the goal to go in and then, you know, he wants to change his mind, then whatever, VAR would change the decision, because it seemed like it was a fair tackle, it was a fair challenge, and Bellingham was rewarded for essentially going and trying to press the goalkeeper. And it's a shame that goals like that are being disallowed, but I always think the biggest problem with VAR and stuff is the human element of it. And I think when the referees and people don't quite get the procedures right, you're left in positions whereby you look at goals which should be allowed, which can't be, because now they're caught in, they've trapped themselves in sort of like a VAR bit of logic. And it's a shame. And I think he deserved that goal because he played very well today.
Yeah, he played excellent. Yeah, just don't blow the whistle. It's that simple, isn't it?
Well, the problem is with VAR.
Yeah.
The understanding of football doesn't rise by the referees. And if he let it go on for another 2 seconds, he could send it to VAR. They could come back and do that for him. And sometimes, well, we get frustrated by VAR, but we get at least frustrated when goals should be given and kind of the referees make it too early. And it's sometimes the understanding of football by some of the referees, VAR can't help that either. There was a big, big wrong decision by the Romanian today at Etihad.
Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. Just a reminder, more from Nedum over on Extra Time. You can check out all the editions in the archive, including Don talking about his Ferrari, on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Jan's still with us. Look ahead to Wednesday's tie in the Champions League. Bayern Munich taking on at PSG. Bayern go into the tie as favourites to advance to the semi-finals. We learned today, Bayern without Gnabry as well. He tested positive for COVID, along with Lewandowski then on the sidelines, Jan.
Yeah, this is the second time that happened to Gnabry, and they've been a bit unlucky with COVID, Bayern, and they're going into this game. And again, there are small things that kind of makes it a bit trouble at Bayern. Today as well, that Jerome Boateng was told that he won't get a contract for next year. And Hansi Flick was wondering, why does this come out to the press? Mm. And we talked about all these kind of things before between him and the head of sports, Salihamidzic. So this is what Bayern do. But what Bayern also do, they win football games. And they are playing a PSG without Verratti. And not only that, they have trouble in France, in their league, losing against Lille. So I will still say that Bayern are highly favourites to win this game.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? PSG are a shambles at the moment, even more so compared to the side that lost in the final of the Champions League last season. If you're Bayern Munich, it would be a huge shock if they don't get through these.
It would also because of the... Okay, this is the Champions League final from last time, but we see the Canadian, David, scoring, seeing the top game. They've had trouble against the top teams in France, and Lille is now leading the league. And for Pochettino coming with an image, not winning titles, and then he comes to the team that can guarantee him titles, we thought. And now they're playing Bayern, the reigning champion of Europe. So it's going to be a tough game for PSG. And like you said, Dan, it would be a big, big shock if Bayern get knocked out, even without Robert Lewandowski, who the paradox is that he get injured against Andorra in a national game and can't play this vital game for them in the Champions League.
Jan Arge Fjortoff, as always, thank you very much for your thoughts. Just a reminder, the other tie on Wednesday, Chelsea in action against Porto. No surprise there. Chelsea, big, big favourites to advance to the semi-finals. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stay tuned, though, because Extra Time is next. Nadim, Ali and Stevie with me to answer your tweets. Stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Nadim, Stevie and Ali are all still with me. Gentlemen, I want to start with that footage that has gone viral of the linesman chasing Haaland down the tunnel to get his autograph at the end of the game. Stevie, you don't mind this?
Yeah, right. Seriously.
I just can't believe anybody in a position like that would do something so stupid. I mean, not only is it just wrong, but you're opening yourself up to people questioning you. It's just
no.
Awful.
Ali, do you have a problem with it?
Simply unacceptable, Dan. It should not happen. It's just simple as that. You cannot have the officials in a match, any match whatsoever, showing this sort of attitude towards a player. There's got to be a distance between the officials of the match and those that are involved in the game.
They're only human, Nathan.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are, but I agree with the guys there. And for me, you know, if you're going to be that type of person, then do it away from the cameras. You can't be seen to be doing stuff like that. Because as we say, just leave yourself open to criticism. And in the future, if it gives a favourable decision to Haaland, yeah. I bet this video pops up.
Let's clear this up before we go any further.
OK.
Officials are not human.
Oh, Stevie.
They are not. They're a completely and utter different breed. So let's get that clear.
Yeah.
First tweet then. Does Ali have any words for Don, who called him romantic for thinking Madrid with a better midfield and European pedigree would win the match? This is where Don poo-pooed you on yesterday's show when you suggested that Real Madrid's midfield was better than Liverpool's, Ali.
Yeah, and he went as far as to say Thiago Alcántara will be the difference maker. Well, so much so that Klopp didn't even start Thiago Alcántara in the match. I would say to Don, as part of the request on this tweet, is that you were wrong. And quite frankly, this midfield of Real Madrid has been the best midfield in the world. At their very best, they can control any match. At their best, they can control any game. We have seen it throughout the course of the year that when Real Madrid has had all sorts of difficulties and injuries and absences, if this midfield three is in play, they can still control a game and they can still maintain themselves somewhere where they can win a match. That's how good they have been.
It's like Ali's Oscar speech, wasn't it? Take that, Don. Your stupid Ferrari driving ways.
I'm just simply answering the question. That's what I do.
Considering that no Liverpool player has been as good as they were in the past, well, this is tough, Stevie. Who would you give the Player of the Year award to?
I think it's easy. Fabinho. Fabinho, without question, in my opinion, has been the most consistent Liverpool player at a high level every time he stepped on the field.
Wasn't very good today.
Well, he's had one bad game in a
minute. He's had one bad in a hundred.
So that means his percentage is down to 99 then. Sorry. Right. You could argue Diogo Jota has been fantastic as well, but he hasn't played the amount of games to get it, so I would say Fabinho.
Stevie, does Trent still deserve to be called up to the England squad?
No.
Can Barca beat Real Madrid as Real looks strong at the moment, as that tie might decide La Liga?
That was well read.
Well, I was editing as I went along because this person hadn't wrote it properly, and I was just guessing on autocorrect. Ali.
First of all, on the Trent Alexander-Arnold question, there was a play in the first half where Ferland Mendy went around Alexander-Arnold like he wasn't even there. Oh. It is poor defending at its very worst, what we're seeing from Alexander-Arnold right now. As for Real Madrid and Barcelona, I think the best thing that could have happened to Barcelona is the fact that Real Madrid are still involved in Champions League and that they had to play a game today that even though they controlled it, at the end of the match, you were seeing a lot of tired legs from Real Madrid, where to the point to where they were dropping so far back, they didn't really have outlets going forward. Maybe if you're Barcelona, you're looking at that and saying, we're not going to get a Real Madrid that is at their very best, because not only are they coming from this match against Liverpool, they're also looking ahead to the next match against Liverpool.
Were there any teammates, Nadim, you had that surprised you with how well their game aged over time?
Off the top of my head, I'd say most players, to be honest, because I think when you get to a point where physically you're not at your best, you've got the experience and understanding of how to actually play the game and make it very, very easy. So there were players who, you know, ultimately had lost their pace, but nobody could ever run past them because they always put themselves in better positions now. So, you know, it's the cliche answer, but I'd say someone like a Vincent Kompany over time, because when he first came to City, he was a defensive midfielder. By the time he was leaving, he was one of the best centre-backs in the club's history.
Stevie?
I'd probably say a good friend, Maka, Steve McManaman.
Really?
Well, he was just a kid when I played with him at Liverpool, and I think I played with him for, what, 2.5 seasons? And the difference in 2.5 years from when he first joined the team to when I left was absolutely huge. I mean, you talk about an acceleration, the way he matured. Just physically, you know, discipline-wise, strength, you name it, understanding of the game, finishing, every single thing didn't gradually get better. It just took off. It was fantastic.
Nathan?
I was going to say, Stevie, and that is our link, because I also played with Steve McManaman. Who would have thought? And
wow.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad when he was leaving. Yeah, exactly.
desperate for a link with Stevie. And Steve McManaman.
We found one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Ali?
I actually was going to answer that question with a question. What happens, and I'm just asking for a friend, what happens with a player that never had pace to begin with? So when he gets older, there was no pace to lose. Does that count? Does that amount to anything in
your
this
football IQ, though, increased over time, yeah, Ali?
Yes, yep. And the experience and the nuance
there
of the game.
There you go, the nuance.
Nuance,
that's
knowledge,
what it
is. Understanding.
Right, I think I could answer this for you guys. The most dramatic ending to a match that you've played in, I'd suggest 1989, Stephen.
I think you can suggest.
Arsenal-Liverpool. Nadim, I would suggest maybe QPR-Manchester City. The most dramatic ending for
maybe.
You. Ali.
It wasn't a good ending. It was MLS Cup playoffs against San Jose. I was with the LA Galaxy at the time. We were up 2-0 from the first game. We were also up 2-0 in that particular game. We ended up losing the game 5-2. The last goal was scored in extra time, and we were eliminated. And for the fans in San Jose, that was fantastic. For those of us that were on the field, remains perhaps a low point in my career.
Oh, no. So, like all of your dramatic endings, you're on the losing side.
No, I'm just saying that was dramatic.
No, and Nadim and Stevie as well. Everyone.
Oh, okay.
Final question. What's the most ridiculously good assist you've witnessed in a game?
Wow.
Stevie?
Ridiculously good assist?
Yes. Okay.
I can't think of too many straight off my head, but I'll give you... John Barnes, and you couldn't call it ridiculous, you could just call it a normal John Barnes assist.
Right.
Where he would pick the ball up on a halfway line, dribble past three or four players, get to the byline. I was standing there on the 6-yard line waiting, and he rolled it to me, and I smashed it in.
Oh, nice.
At the top end. That was a ridiculous, normal John Barnes assist.
So just really get about getting your goal into the conversation.
Well, there's got to be something that reminds you of it, so that was it.
That was it. Ali?
Daniel, I actually was in the middle of this play. I once provided an assist with my backside.
Oh!
I was shielding off the defender, didn't quite know exactly where the move was going to end up, and I was just trying to get position. The ball was flicked onto me, and what do you know? I flexed the muscles, put it in for a through ball. We scored the game winner, won the match. That's all I got to tell you. Up my backside, it was nice and useful back then.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, when he says shielding the defender, he means he was halfway towards the floor.
Right.
That's what he means.
Hey, I fire that muscle, though.
Yeah.
Nadim, most ridiculous good assist.
Okay, so there was once this young player. He was at Manchester City. He was playing right back. He got the ball at Upton Park, dribbled past three, four players, chopped one back, threw one on the floor, and then played a nice toe poke ball to Giovanni, who smashed it into the bottom corner. First game of the season under Sven-Goran Eriksson. This was going to be City's year. Greatest assist ever seen. Kinda, that was mine. So I'll just take some credit for that.
No,
I did a good assist.
I
think that might have been the only one in my career. Might have been the only one in my career, but you know,
wow.
It happened.
You peaked early, really. That was that. Right?
Way too early.
What? Hey, what happened afterwards? What happened, Ned?
Where did it go wrong?
I
was so tired. I just woke up and then it was game over. That was the rest of my career.
That was it. Done. Excellent. Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Bayern Munich PSG, I imagine, will dominate the conversation. What a game that should be.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.